right, we're gonna start the show, buddy, so you gotta be quiet. Now.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. It is the last warm, perfect, Saturday evening, Thursday evening here. It's about to get real cold tomorrow, which I'm not mad about because that means the deer are moving. It is November 10th, and I almost hit the first deer on the side of, or not on the side of the road, the first deer driving here to the studio. And dear Lord, that was terrifying. I was just in the zone, singing my music, driving straight, going about 55 miles an hour, the exact speed limit. And all of a sudden, there was a blur of tan going right across the top. And my dog in the backseat, Bandit, which is not here today, started barking like crazy. So I thought I was going to lose a dog, too. So, you know, a little sketchy, but all right. So don't forget, you can listen to us on civicmedia.us or listen on Apple or your Spotify app or tune in to 101.1 FM, 540 AM. But best of all, give us a call at 844-967-2789. I want to give a shout out to somebody who I know is listening right away, which is Annie Belsky. Hello. I don't know where you are, but if you're at Crazy Train, hello, Crazy Train people. So today we have part two of Jared talking all things deer, which is pretty much teaching me what I'm doing wrong, pretty much.
Yep.
And then we have Kyle Schmidt in the house, and we talk with Jared, and then we take our stuff to Kyle with Northwoods Taxidermy. And Jackson, his son, is in the house too. He's being a little shy right now. That's all right though. So Jared, do you remember where we left off? Because I really don't remember where we left off.
Not really.
I think it was either tickling.
We were past that.
We're tickling, and then I remember with the decoys.
Yep.
So now what I want to bring in right away is with this warm weather. I saw zero deer today on my trail camera. It's because y'all are just like hanging out waiting for the nice cold weather to come through right now, or what are they doing?
Just a lot more nighttime movement.
A lot more nighttime movement. Just
work when it's cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad though, which I'm glad I'm working, but
yeah,
but nothing worse than sitting in your whatever you're doing at your office, your tractor, whatever you're doing, and looking at the trail cam picture saying, hey, there's a nice 10 point right here in front of your stand. Ha ha.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I mean, not much has really changed since October, since the rut really kicked off. It's been kind of warm the whole time. So.
I know, it kind of sucks. Yeah. I'm not really liking this warm weather at all.
No, this weekend will be really good.
This weekend would be really good.
It'll get everything moving a lot faster.
That'd be nice. That'd be really nice.
For the ducks, too.
For the ducks, too, definitely. And Kyle's heading down to or over to the Mississippi somewhere. I don't know where, but he's going there right after the show. So
undisclosed location.
Secret spots.
This one place next to that one tree at that one time in that one place. Uh-huh. All right. So how was hunting? Have you gone hunting since last week?
I did, yes. Yeah. I shot my buck on Saturday.
No way.
Yep, at 8:20, really hungover. So
Hungover, even better. So you were just spewing all that, you know, root beer out of your skin and everything.
It was definitely one to think about because before I walked in the woods, there were ash trees falling down. So I was debating not going in, but I was already there and hungover, so I had to be. We're doing it. We're here. We're doing it. And
Did it rain really hard on? Was that Saturday that it rained really?
Yep, about 1:30 it started downpouring. No, 11:30 it started.
But you shot yours at 8:20, so it's all right. And you found it right away before the rain started and washed away all the blood.
I actually watched him drop at 50 yards. He ran 50 yards and I watched him drop. So
nice.
Yep, it was a good feeling.
Yeah.
There was a lot went into it, came out of it, but we got it done, so.
That's good. Have you gone out hunting, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
we went out. We heard about the buck that you shot or missed, or what was the story, Jared? You seemed to tell us last week.
I've had a rough go at it with the bow this year, but
yeah,
there might be one out there for the finding come wintertime, unfortunately, but we'll see. Yeah, they're running around, so we hunt the same Earl, similar property to Jared. We're neighbors, so it's fun. We have a lot of fun together, sharing pictures and sharing the experience and, you know, kind of talking nonsense and
strategizing.
Yeah. He's helped out with pretty much build our entire property for, you know, for what it is. So Yeah, it's been fun. It's been working. We're seeing a lot of progress with the food plots. And
that's good.
Yeah, the switchgrass, and yeah, it's all paying off.
So the switchgrass, when you say switchgrass, what do you mean?
Habitat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all habitat and travel corridors and trying to neck deer down to actually get a shot at them with the boat.
Put deer where you want them instead of trying to chase them all through the woods. And
even though I still chase them all through the woods. Now I just chase them in the switchgrass.
There you go. Yeah. See, my thing is I'm thankful enough to be able to hunt private land, but where I hunt private land, it's someone else's property that they let me. You just go on. I help with the farm and everything, mm-hmm. but I don't get to like control anything. Like they say, I'm going to be here today. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, it's the middle of the rut, and about an hour before sunset. Sure, it's your property. I can't really tell them what not to do, and then with planting everything, can't really do anything like that. So
it took me 3 years of convincing to let the guy that lets me now.
Yeah,
work on his habitat so he can gun hunt it. So
I mean, you're the guy for it, so
it worked out perfect. I mean, we see a lot of deer. We have a lot of good sits and
mm-hmm. perfect. I see we have Bella online from Fort Atkinson. Bella, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Bella. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Do you have a story about us with deer, with hunting or anything?
No, I really just have a question.
Yes.
I'm wondering, when is the best time to go shed hunting?
Shed hunting, that's actually a really good thing. Mm. Now, see, in my lack thereof knowledge, I feel like right now is not the great time because that's when we see them fighting and everything, so they're not going to fall off right now, the antlers.
You might find bits and pieces.
Right? Oh, yeah, bits and pieces, there you go. But I believe, like, in what, February does it start when they start shedding their antlers?
Yeah, around Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So what's the best place to kind of go look for them?
Tree lines, if you can identify buck bedding,
those
areas, food, where they crisscross in between. And
so would it be like the same area that they're traveling now?
It can be, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It depends on where your deer winter. So if you look out the window and you see deer in the wintertime, we'd go check it. But I know for me and Kyle, it's... Our deer are gone. Like
they're gone.
It comes January and they're not around. So that's why we do a lot with the habitat to try to keep them on the property 365 days a year.
Yeah. Well, Bella, I feel the same way because I live across the street from public property in Colgate. And I always think my first thought is that I'm looking on the tree and I see a rub. I'm like, oh, this is it. But it is like February, March. I'm like, yeah, this is where when we find them. I see rubs everywhere. But then I go on Google. And Google tells me I'm wrong. Do you feel that way too, Bella, or do you have any luck?
Well, that's the thing. I don't have much luck, but I think that now that I know it's more like in the early winter time, I guess late winter time, early year, I really might be able to find them.
Did you start going, or when did you? When were you looking?
Usually, like mid-January. I know it's a little too early.
Yeah, I thought that too, but now Valentine's Day. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna be out there searching.
That's generally a good start is Valentine's Day.
Well, perfect. Thanks for the question, Bella.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a great night.
You too. You know, I have when I went morel hunting in spring is when I found my first shed. Obviously, by complete chance. But I always did go out in, like, March, late February, and looking for rubs is the bad idea.
Well, those are laid down in the fall, so.
Yeah. He's, like, laughing at me, people. He's looking at me and laughing at me.
I have to bring up the story that I think it was a couple years ago. I told my sister-in-law and her husband, I said, yeah, we're going to go shed hunting. Do you want to go? And later on in the car, she was driving home and said, where are they going shed hunting? Why don't they go to the Menards? So it makes me crack up that way that she thought shed hunting was going to look for a shed for the house.
I mean, it's, you know, for the non-hunters.
Yep. So, I mean, it's not far off, really.
See, I would have went to, like, Toys R Us and bought, like, a little shed that you put on, like, a little farm kid things and, like, put this shed out there. Look, a shed. It's out there.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. Have you found matching pairs for sheds or anything like that?
No.
No?
The property I always shed hunted, it's flooded more than it's dry, so it's they vacate pretty quick.
Well, that sounds very mosquito-y.
Well, not in March.
No, not in March. But it sounds very mosquito-y. It sounds horrible.
Well, that was on Saturday morning, I was getting bit up by mosquitoes, and I thought it was ridiculous that we're here November 5th, and there's still mosquitoes.
I really do not like this warm weather.
No.
But, like, I was telling them before the show that this warm weather is okay, but then I already started watching Christmas movies on Hallmark Channel, so I'm ready for this winter. Working outside.
We're still thinking about bucks and ducks.
I am too. I have the deer go in my backyard. I'm still going out hunting, but also when I come home, I like making that hot chocolate with schnapps. And sitting down watching Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I feel like I cannot relate with anybody right now.
Well, call me and tell me your fall things. Are you listening to Christmas music or anything? I don't know.
Jackson wants to watch Home Alone. So
that counts.
That's Christmassy.
That is very Christmassy.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So same with Die Hard.
We're starting to think about
it. Die Hard Home Alone?
Die Hard, the movie?
Oh, gosh.
Bruce Willis, ultimate Christmas movie.
Yeah, super Christmas movie. Wow, nice. Yep. So, back to hunting, I guess. No more Christmas. Sad. Decoys. I saw a decoy at, where was I? Fleet Farm, I think it was. And I almost bought it. But then I was trying to remember what you said. And I don't really remember what you said about using decoys right now.
Well, you just want to, if you're going to use them, you got to have the right age demographic for those bucks to see it. Because little bucks are going to come play with it, but if you want a mature buck, you got to have it out where a mature buck would be.
Oh, well, placement-wise? Oh, I thought you were like the actual decoy. I'm like, wait a minute.
No, because the little bucks and stuff, it'll draw them in, but if you're going for a bigger one, then you don't want other deer to investigate it as much, so you want it kind of on a route where you can pull that buck off of does or other groups of deer to come into it.
Yeah.
They are really successful.
They are. Yeah. See, I'm a little worried about that, and especially with where I'm hunting now, that they're, it's just a ledge, and then it just completely drops down. So I'm totally afraid if I put it down there, and then I'm going to shoot it, and they're going to run down the hill, and I'm not going to see anything at all whatsoever. Because that happened to me once where I did not find my deer, but I didn't use a decoy, but that's beside the point. But I went down, look for the deer and nothing.
If you're looking for a good hunt, they're fun to just put out and watch what comes into it. They're fun.
That would be nice. All right. But again, give us a call at 844-967-2789. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Big buck fever.
Yeah, I once was a doubter, but now I'm a believer. I've got an incurable case of that.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. This is Danielle Fairman, Joel Clayfish. Joel Clayfish is not here today. I know you guys were anticipating him being here, but he is in Florida with Rebecca. I think this is her first time down in Florida, and he's hog hunting. I'm not sure if she's following, but that's very exciting. I wish I could go down there and hog hunt and gator hunt and do all the kinds of hunting. I don't know if I could be able to do it with hogs, with the dogs, hogs and dogs. Dogs and hogs. where you use the dogs to, you know, do whatever, rowl them up the hogs. I feel like I can't do that. I don't know why.
Try it once and you'll see.
But see, with my train of thought is that I feel that it's I don't know. What am I looking for? It's not. I feel like you're scaring the hogs too much. Like, I don't mind hunting. I'm all for hunting, 100%. But I just feel like using the dogs is cheating. Nobody come at me for this. I feel like using the dogs is cheating, you know? It's not like the thrill of the hunt. Why do you keep smiling at me like that? I feel like you're silently judging me over there.
They do it with bears, too. And I know, it's just a different way of doing it. Cats. Do it with raccoons, coyotes.
I mean, we do it with rabbits.
Rabbits?
Yeah, I don't know why I don't feel bad with rabbits. I don't know, maybe because I've never done
it. With rabbits, it's really nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with a lot less walking. Mm-hmm. My old dog, Ranger, he got my first rabbit with me, so that was pretty great. But the rabbit was all up in the underneath the brush and everything, and he just went right through it and got a nice little scratch on his back and then pushed out the rabbit, and I got my first rabbit. It was a great time. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel bad about that. See? I don't know why I feel bad about the hog. I don't know. Have you guys gone hog hunting or gator hunting before?
Not yet. I do want to go. Plan to set that up with Joel in the next couple of years, hopefully. So
that'd be nice. Yeah. Have you gone, Jared?
When I lived down in Texas for a little bit,
you lived in Texas?
But not for long. It was more just drinking, but we did hog hunt once or twice, so it was fun.
That'd be nice. I want to try the hog hunting from a helicopter.
That would be sweet.
Yeah. Talk about cheating.
I know. I don't know how I have mixed feelings about things. I don't know. I guess it'd be more fun to watch or be in and like watch everything down below like that. But I don't know. You know, don't know until you know that situation.
Yeah.
But sounds fun. Kyle, hypothetically, I got this awesome hog, and I bring it to you at Northwoods Taxidermy.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome. Tell everybody quickly about what you do.
Well, I'm obviously a taxidermist, own Northwoods Taxidermy. We do, full service, do everything. Fish, ducks, large mammals, small mammals, Africa, New Zealand, Russia, you name it, from all over the world. So whitetails, obviously pile of whitetails every year. And
I believe it.
We got a great team. Been doing it for a long time. Obviously, Dan was the founder 40 years ago. So
40 years ago.
Yeah, I think this would be technically our 40th year. So.
Aww. Like throwing a party?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sure.
This is sure. There's always a reason party.
Yeah. Yep. So,
how did you get into it?
I had an uncle a great uncle in Alaska that did taxidermy for quite some time. And spent time in Alaska with him and
that's really neat.
Got a feel for it, came back, and just kind of self-taught through a lot of local guys that were nice enough to, you know, show me their ways. And I fell in love with it. You know, I love the outdoors, love hunting, love the artistic side of it. So
I'll say doing the whole taxidermy part is a whole different side of hunting.
It is.
That's like the ending part of it where you get to see it on your wall and you have a lifetime memory of it. Do you remember your first animal you practice on or your first
caribou.
Official mount?
Yeah,
a caribou?
Yeah, in Alaska. Huh. So that was the first one.
At what age?
That was, I was 20 years old. So
that'd be really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I enjoy it. I love bringing the memory, you know, to life and... it's better than a picture, I always say, and you can keep it forever, and it lasts forever, and
Kyle did three of my birds, my pheasant, my first speckle belly, and then my mallard.
Yep.
And these mounts, we did a den mount, and this is a funny story. My mom came over. She slept over Tuesday? She just said surprise visit, whatever. So she came in the house and said, so I understand all the other mounts on the wall. You know, I have a deer, the fish, you know, you name it.
Sure.
And she's like, why are these upside down? I was like, oh, Ma.
Yeah.
Why are these upside down? I'm like, Ma, just look at the string on it. And they're just hanging from the string. Like, you got it right from the field. And you just hung them right up.
Yep.
She's like, I don't understand this. I'm the only hunter in the family, the hunter and the fisher. That's it. There's five of us. And I'm the only one. So when they come to the house, they're like, oh, it's the meat locker. Because I also like it really cold in the house. Like, a good 63, 64.
Yeah.
And it's all the dead animals just hanging out. And they're like, oh. So what one of these are we eating today? I was like, aw, that's sad.
No,
that's sad.
The dead mounts are popular. They're a great way to display a lot of birds. You know, you don't necessarily need the best of the best bird to make a dead mount look really good. You know, so it's a good option as far as that goes. So I get it. I totally think they're cool. You know,
I like them. Yeah. I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
And it shows off at my pheasant. Has a 32-inch tail. Mm-hmm. I was so excited about it.
Yeah,
I'm like, 32 inches. I'm like, oh, this is so great. So I shot this hog. What do I do for the hog to prepare it for you?
Freeze it, you know, for sure. Like, I mean, obviously, it's got to be caked.
Get it and stick it in my freezer?
Well, no, I mean, it's going to have to be skinned, you know, obviously. You're going to have take the cape off the animal and then get it in the freezer as soon as you can, you know, and... As far as, like, the actual head of the animal goes, that can be froze with it. Obviously, you don't have to do that detailed work, knife work on the face. So Yeah, just take it up to the neck, kind of cut that off there and freeze it as soon as you can, and and then just get it to your taxidermist in a reasonable time frame. That's usually what I say.
So. I definitely have a story about that when I ruined one of my mounts.
Oh,
bring it to the tag. Yeah. It's so sad. It was very sad. You listen to Raised in Wisco. We'll talk to you about my bad experience when we get back.
What am I doing? I ain't never going to get no deer if I don't stay in the woods longer than 45 minutes, man. I'm going to go get back in my trigger. Can't get no big buck if you ain't in the woods. What's the difference between a red?
To Raised in Wisco. It's Danielle Fairman, your co-host. Joel Clayfish is in Florida. He'll be back next week, so we can ask him all about his hog hunting, his gator hunting, all the things. Before we went to break, we were I was trying to talk to you about my bad experience bringing a duck to a taxidermist. It was before I found Kyle, so don't be mad at me, okay? So my duck. So what I did right away, I laid him flat, but I laid him nice and flat on a piece of wood, a nice little piece of wood. We have Jackson in the studio, and he wants to play with the mic. I feel like we have to get Jackson to talk on the radio, right?
He will.
But so I put a t-shirt over it, like a nice tight, like a smaller t-shirt that I don't fit in anymore. And I didn't realize that somehow the t-shirt got a little wet, so it like froze when I put it in the freezer. And I let it sit in the freezer for like 6-7 months because I was procrastinating, because that's just what I do. Mm-hmm. And when the taxidermist got it, he started like, he let it all melt and everything, but he started peeling it away, and like the feathers started coming off with it. Ooh. And it, like, the feathers got like, you know, yeah, I don't
kinked,
I don't,
maybe, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I'm like, what the yeah. world?
Yeah.
So then he pulled it back, and when he let it all dry out and do whatever he had to do, like, the feathers were just not laying the way they should have laid. And yeah. he's like, we could mount this, but it's not going to be like the best mount.
Yeah.
And that was my first bird, too. I was so devastated.
No, that's a bummer.
Yeah. It was one of my ones from North Dakota. It was either, I think it was like a blue wing teal, so it was a smaller one. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, nothing super exciting, mm-hmm. but it was my first, like, mature. It was so blue, it was perfect, it was great. I was so happy. I'm like, yep, memory. Yep. Yep. Nope, sadness.
Yeah, for whatever reason, people feel like they should wrap their birds and stuff. Don't do that. Like, pantyhose, definitely not. Newspaper, definitely not.
Somebody told me to do put nylons over it.
No, definitely not. 100% definitely. Don't do that.
Oh,
nope.
Okay, sucks moisture. Guys, listen, yeah. do not do that.
Nope. Just put it in a plastic bag. If it's a smaller duck, put it in a gallon Ziploc bag.
Huh.
Just seal it up. Put it in the freezer. If not, just wrap it in some plastic garbage bag, a couple plastic grocery bags.
How about like a scented tight. Grocery bag? Fudge. A scented garbage bag.
Yeah, that's fine.
Scented?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
So it smells like lavender?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Why not? I mean, the birds on the get washed like 60 times, you know? I mean, so that's, you're not going to, not going to have any issues with that. But yeah, common mistake is the pantyhose, the newspaper, really any cloth around it. You don't need that
stuff.
I feel like
newspaper would be a very bad idea.
It is. So don't do that.
Like, we're not doing macrame or whatever.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I feel like newspaper would be a very bad idea. So when I went to your shop, I saw, I hope I'm allowed to talk about this, the big old white lion.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So can you tell like a story about that? Like,
yeah,
that was the coolest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, is that something you typically see, a big old white lion just chilling, an eagle? Like, no.
Right. Which, it was not my lion. It was a customer. It was a good, really good customer of ours, actually, who took that lion. It was many years ago, prior to Cecil and all this stuff. But nonetheless, yeah, it's a beautiful mount. It's a big, very, very large male lion, white, that he took. It had to be 7-8 years ago we did that. We did have it at the show, and then what we were doing, he moved, so what we were doing is actually redoing a habitat for it. Is why you saw it at the shop at that time.
Oh.
So we actually built a big pride rock, is what we called it, like the Lion King. So it's in his trophy room with a huge rock that looks like it weighs, you know, 20,000 pounds.
And, oh, yeah.
And the lion's all standing up on it with a sable and a giraffe, and he's got a couple other pieces there along with it. So
that's just completely wild to me what you guys can do.
Yeah.
You just make everything look so, like, the rock is pretty much just this piece of styrofoam or... It's just chicken wire and whatever you put on the newspaper.
Yeah. Chicken wire, burlap, rock mix. That one was out of rock mix, so.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we're fortunate. Got a really good habitat guy. He's been doing it forever. Comes down and he's the rock man.
The rock man.
He's good. He's good. Yeah, he's one of the best out there. So lucky to have him. And he's also a great duck hunting buddy. We'll be going up there with him tomorrow. So.
Are you the Mississippi? He's going with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so we get the crew together and do stuff like that occasionally. So
yeah, you were saying that you guys can, you just watch the weather and just go when you need to?
Yeah, we've done that now more recently. You know, years past, we've always planned the trips, and if the weather wasn't right, it was slow. And
yeah.
We're going up there to have good success. And
that's good.
The weather's... strictly determines that.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah, so
nothing like my North Dakota hunt where we went a week early and it was still 70 degree weather and hunting in a t-shirt and
makes
stinky,
it tough.
Stinky water.
It tough.
Oh my gosh, it was the absolute worst time. But I actually went on Saturday and went layout bow hunting. So I was in a layout boat getting poured on. It was so cold. Water splashing up. I hate water. I hate water. If I can't touch the ground, I'm freaking out. And I'm sitting here in waders in a layout boat getting poured on and just waiting for all the birds to pass. I shot at my first canvas back, though. That's nice. Awesome. That's very exciting. Didn't get it, but I shot at it. But I hate water. I hate water so much. I always think I'm going to drown or get stuck. It is absolutely terrifying. And crawling from the layout boat and having to step up like 3-4 feet into the actual boat so I can get in the boat or out of the, whatever. Mm-hmm. Nope. My heart was going so dang fast. I hate it so much. Or my favorite, when you walk in through the marsh and you waders and you find a sinkhole. I think it's a sinkhole. I think I'm going to fall into the middle of the earth, but it's actually just fall like 6 inches.
I've actually never wore waders for.
You never wore
duck
waders?
No.
What?
Oh, lucky you.
I've got to luck out and get to walk pallets out through the cattails to a duck blind. So. I don't know that. Right. I don't know that feeling.
Well, I feel like you should buy some waders. I can give you mine. It will probably fit just nice and tightly, snug. But yeah, you could come out with us. I can, give you some nice.
Seems like a lot of work.
We'll get you stuck in the mud.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and you have to walk and rock back and forth and pull your foot out. And
it's terrible.
Comes out of the actual boot from the wader. Nope. Mm-hmm. And then you get the smell with it too.
I actually did that last year when.
Yeah.
Duck hunting, I stepped off the pallet and my boot went in and my boot stayed. So.
Nope, not coming with you.
That's why you wear
waders,
Jared.
So, I'm good on that. I can just stick to the pallet and walk out and I don't need to go any farther.
That's the one thing I did miss about North Dakota is usually when we went, we got to go field hunting a lot. But like I was telling 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that it was just all... farmers plowing their field, getting rid of their beans and getting rid of their corn and then putting the ammonia in the field and no field hunting at all. It sucked. It really sucked.
Yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. So back to taxidermy. I'm going to ask the typical question everybody asks you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you ready for it?
I suppose.
What's your favorite? Well, so out of all the animals, all the Wisconsin animals, because I can't go to Africa and shoot something.
Sure.
So if I brought you a squirrel, would you look at him and be like, what, why?
Yeah, I would look at you and say, what, why?
He would not do a skunk for me last year.
He wouldn't do a skunk?
The skunk was already frozen, and he said no. I'm like, you don't have to kill it, or it's just dead.
Yeah.
The side of the road. Why won't you do a skunk?
Why won't you do a skunk?
No, skunks are not. Well, if the biggest reason is no tannery will take them.
Oh,
Because it's.
Well, I guess you got to learn how to do that then.
Well, we do tan our own. We do tan our own hides, but once again, we don't want to deal with it either.
Yeah.
It can. The oils can get in the tanning solutions, and then you can ruin other hides. I mean, last thing you want is a white tail back that smells like a skunk. So it's like literally the one animal we won't do.
A skunk.
We do plenty of squirrels, but yeah, I mean, not a huge fan of them. I'd probably say they're my least favorite if I had to say. But,
nice.
Yeah, some of my most favorite stuff to work on, geez, is probably cats. I like cats, you know. I'm not like house cats.
My first, I was like, wait, what? What are you talking about? A little
bobcats, mountain lions, leopards, lions. I mean, just the cat family as far as hunting goes.
Yeah.
They're very detailed and just, you know, cool animals. And so
they are.
Yeah, they're fun to do, and that's probably one of my favorites, I'd say.
Unfortunately, I don't think I'll ever get a cat. I don't see that in my future for some reason.
Yeah, well.
Have you ever hunted a cat?
Let's see. No, I have not. I do want to go on a mountain lion hunt. Yeah, that's on the bucket list for sure.
That'd be nice.
I doubt I'll hunt cats in Africa. There may be a caracal or a serval or something like that. Smaller, like their type of bobcat, basically. Yeah, I mean, other than that, bobcat. I mean, bobcats are cool trophies, and Wisconsin has them. And
yeah.
You know, you can get tags, and so, I mean, I'm applying for them, but just haven't quite drawn for them yet, so.
Another one to use dogs with.
You can.
I feel like I should actually try it before I keep judging it.
Yeah.
I'm not judging anybody that does do it at all whatsoever. I love dogs. I'm afraid the dogs are going to get hurt, man.
Yeah, like, they do.
Exactly. It's sad. I see, like, what's, on the Outdoor Channel, what's the hog hunting show? Like the family, do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Do you watch the Outdoor Channel?
I don't watch TV.
Oh, well, so. Good talk.
I watch kids stuff, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, kids stuff is.
Well,
great.
It's just strictly hog hunting for this family. It's all the show is just hog hunting, and they have dogs, like dogs upon dogs upon dogs, and like the two episodes that I watched where a dog got hurt, I'm like, really. The only two that I watched, the dogs get hurt, and I think one passed away. I'm like, I can't do this, and that just completely ruined me.
Just
I'm
don't
like,
use your dog.
I don't want to hurt anybody else's dog either, but that is what the dogs love to do, so I can't really keep judging that. I feel like a really big judger right now. Sorry, everybody.
It's different. Yeah, it's different. They're tools, you know, I mean, as much as that's what they're used
to. They love doing it. It's just like if I died hunting, I died loving what I do, so.
Yeah. But I don't know what else to talk to you about taxidermy. I feel like there's something else that I need to talk to you about it with. How can people reach you with it? Just go to northwoodstaxidermy.com?
Yeah, just Google Northwoods Taxidermy. We got everything there as far as contact information, and you can call me with questions anytime, of course. You know, I answer a lot of questions all the time.
He's always on time. Very timely.
Very timely.
You get your deer back in less than a year.
Yes, that's a good point. Thanks, Jared.
So fast.
I have to say that because I am impressed at how good he does and how efficient he is at it. Like, the chaoticness of everything coming in from ducks to just everything, deer, bobcats, whatever that comes in, like, he's on top of it. It's crazy.
I remember Bill had to wait almost 3 years for one of his deer, but they kept, like, procrastinating. So, we're moving places, so we had to put it on hold a little bit. Then he said, call us back in 6 months. So we called back in 6 months, and then nothing, and then nothing, and then nothing, and then nothing. And then he finally got it, like, almost 3 years later. I was like, oh, dang.
Wow. It seems like eternity when you're waiting just a year, so I couldn't imagine 3 years waiting for...
No.
Amount to come back.
But I only have now two mounts. I have my first one. I made a little birdhouse for it. definitely that person. I made a house for it. And then I have a fishing lure attached to it because the water was too mucky. I had my waders on. I was terrified. I walked in and I just sunk. And then sunk, and I was going to let Bandit go in there and get it, because obviously he'll get stuck, and then I'll get stuck, and then we'll both die out there. So I had a fishing pole in my vehicle, and went out there and casted it and reeled in a duck.
There you go.
That's good.
Messed up the feathers, though. But I have the fishing lure hanging from the feathers.
That's cool. Well, there you go.
That's definitely a story.
That's a good one.
Yeah. What about your mounts? How are your mounts? What mounts do you have up in the house?
Just antlers.
Just antlers?
Yep. Just the buck that he mounted for me and not tickling each other. No. No, they are not. Just the one he did for me in 2020. And it was a nice shoulder mount. And I just took it to him and said, felt kind of bad because we kind of hunt the same property. It's like, just do it like it would be in your house.
Yep, that was the one out there for that year that Jared got him. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Give us a call at 844-967-2789 and tell us about your mounts in your house, your hunting stories. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
Just wondering about the wind. Oh, wondering about the wind. I'm 15 feet up off the ground. I got my bow in my hand. I'm not making a sound. I'm just waiting.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. Oh my Lanta, sorry, I was not prepared. I was just in my own little zone talking about nightmares and I heard the music starting playing. I'm sorry. Welcome back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm Danielle, your co-host that talks about the most random things ever, like nightmares. We're talking about taxidermy now. I'm talking about nightmares I've been having. I don't understand my mind sometimes. But okay, I'm going to continue. I had this nightmare where I'm stuck underneath a bridge. It's like I'm on 94 and there's an overpass. And I'm trying to get down from the overpass. But I'm like stuck. Like there's nothing around me, but I'm like stuck. And then I wake up. I don't understand, and I wake up freaking out. And I really truly do not understand this dream at all. Why am I stuck? There's nothing there to be stuck on. Why?
It's the nightmare. I don't know.
All right, good talk, guys. Good talk. Thanks for talking me off of the ledge. So you're going to the Mississippi, Kyle. I'm yes. Pointing to Kyle, everybody. Kyle, yes. You're going to the Mississippi right after this. And you're going hunting this weekend.
No. I got to do deer blinds this weekend.
Oh, you got to do deer blinds this weekend.
Deliver deer blinds.
Oh, deliver deer blinds.
Yep.
So if I order a deer blind, you can deliver it to me? DoorDash?
Yeah. No, not DoorDash.
Can you deliver food too?
No.
First, before we get to your delivering service, we have Jim from Germantown. Jim, hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Are you calling about my nightmare story? Are you calling about hunting?
I'm calling about taxidermy, actually.
Oh, what do you got, Jim?
Well, if I shoot a deer someday, I hope to. Do I try to clean it or cape it out, or do I take it to the taxidermist, Kyle? Is that something that we would bring to you and you would take care of it?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not comfortable to cape a deer, of course you just call and bring the deer in and we'll cape it there for you and send you on your way with the rest of the deer. That's no problem. If you do plan to go to a butcher, they do offer caping as well. So then you can get your deer back from them caped, usually frozen, ready to go, drop that off and do some paperwork and you're good to go. So if you do want to try it on your own, there's some great YouTube videos. There's also some just pictures that kind of talk you through it. But yes, we do offer that as a service, no extra charge to cape your deer for you.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's perfect. So we could, call you no matter what time it is, whether it's 7 o'clock at night or whatever it would be. And
yeah,
you'd be available or someone in your staff would be available to take care of it.
Yeah. Obviously time is, it does depend on time a little bit. If you shoot the deer and it's, 10 o'clock at night, obviously we won't be available, but the next morning, for sure. You have a little time. Warmer weather obviously speeds up, the process a little bit. But when it's cool out, you have a day or two to get that deer in and caped and without any issues, as far as the cape goes and your meat. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Well, thanks for calling, Jim. Hope that answered your question. So this deer that Jim just hunted, you delivered a blind to him, right? Okay. Yeah. So what are you talking about delivering blinds? Like, what kind of blinds?
They're hard shell blinds. So these are nicer blinds that are not sold in like Menards, Fleet Farm.
What's the name, Jared?
We sell two varieties.
Yeah. Who's we? Landmasters Trophy Plots?
Landmasters Trophy Plots, yes. That is our company. We sell food plot seed from Arrowseed. Vitalize Seed is, we just started with them this year. Great company. Do a lot of great things. And then we sell 04 Outdoor Blinds and Orion Blinds.
Oh. So these blinds, are they like, oh, you said hard shell. Are they with the ladder? You set up with the whole thing, or is just like the load on the ground ones, or?
The 04 ones, you have to supply your own lumber. And those are carpeted head to toe, insulated.
Carpeted?
Super nice blinds.
Oh.
The Orion blinds are carpeted head to toe. They're just as nice. They come with a 10-foot elevated platform you can buy, or 5-foot with the staircase. So,
oh, that sounds really
there's
nice.
Some options of what you can do depending on how you want to use it. I have mine on a trailer, so that's what I'm going to do this weekend, is just wheel it out into the field. And
hey, that's actually kind of smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do that. I have never hunted from a hard shell blind. It's always a tree stand or a ladder stand. I've never actually hunted out of a blind where I can, you know, casually fall asleep without anybody noticing.
My uncle just shot one out of 04 blind. Was it Tuesday? Tuesday he shot a buck out of it, compound bow. So You can do it. There's a lot of room in there to do it.
So, okay, going back to, I wasn't here in the beginning part of the show, if you remember last week. Landmasters Trophy Plots. What is that? So what do you do?
Well, it started out with just food plots, and then I started selling deer blinds, and then guys would always ask me their opinions on what to put here and there, and then it just kind of snowballed into a legitimate business, and now we do land consultations where we survey the property, tell them what habitat improvements they could do, and how to hunt the land differently so they're not wrecking it day one when they want to hunt, or day two. Things like that, and then we sell deer blinds. So
I remember the one thing that stuck out, minus tickling, one thing that stuck out last week was you said, this sounds so weird. You're the tickle guy for me. Yeah. That sounds so weird to the non-people.
Don't tell my wife that.
I will, but everybody that's been listening will understand this. Please tell me you guys will understand this. But is you said to hunt from the outside in.
Yeah, so a lot of my stands are low impact observation stands, where I'm just seeing what's going on. I still have a chance to shoot a buck.
Yeah.
But I'm not wrecking the interior where they want to be, or they're going to be. I'm watching for those moments of like, okay, well, they're really taking this path. The one buck me and Kyle hunted, they watched me army crawl through a hayfield to try to shoot him.
No way.
And the thoughts that went through my head was either I'm going to get him, or I'm going to push them over to Jake and Kyle, and I'd be happy with that if they shot them. So It was, to me, it wasn't a lose-lose situation at all. It was.
That's awesome. Auburn crawling through it.
Yeah.
That's commitment right there.
It was fun laying in a hayfield for 2 hours. And,
nice.
Yeah, just for that one moment. But,
Well, sweet. So then I'm glad you're on the show, because I definitely do need help with all that kind of stuff too, which we were talking about last week. But that's cool that Landmaster Trophy Plots actually has that. You guys have a website, so I can come stalk you and everybody else.
Yep,
yeah, and figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, it's landmasterstrophy.com.
Oh, not plots.
No, that was someone else had that. I didn't understand why.
Oh, weird. Well, you guys heard it here. Jared, thank you so much for coming in again for part two. Kyle, thank you. Good luck hunting. Good luck delivering your blind.
Thank you.
Jackson. Hi, Jackson.
Smile, Jackson.
Oh, I got
Jackson smiling for everybody.
He did a good job.
He did a great job. Thank you for listening to Raised in Wisco. We'll hear you back here next Thursday at 7 o'clock. And please write this down, 844-967-2789. We love when people give us a call. Everybody have a great week. Stay safe.